What if you could build a factory for 2-nanometer chips for a fraction of today's cost, using 90% less energy? It sounds impossible, but one Japanese giant is betting over $300 million that it's the future of semiconductor manufacturing. And it's happening sooner than you think, with a new plant opening in 2025. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking three major developments. First, a battle for the future of your screen. Samsung is pushing the limits of display technology with a huge performance leap, just as Chinese researchers solve a critical environmental problem with quantum dots. Second, we'll analyze that massive investment I mentioned, Canon's high-stakes plan to challenge the undisputed king of semiconductor equipment with a completely different technology.
And finally, we'll go nanoscale. We'll look at the advanced materials, specifically carbon nanotubes, that are set to revolutionize everything from electric vehicle batteries to flexible electronics and what companies need to know about handling them safely.
Let's start with displays, Troy. We saw two pieces of news from Samsung this week about a technology called Penta Tandem QD OLED. What is this and why is it a big deal?
Penta Tandem is an evolution of Samsung Display's quantum dot OLED technology. Essentially, they are stacking multiple emission layers in the panel. The result, seen in their new 27-inch panels, is a dramatic performance boost. We're talking a 320 Hz refresh rate, peak brightness hitting 1300 nits, and crucially, a doubled operational lifespan.
Doubling the lifespan seems to address a major concern with OLED burn-in. But how quickly is this hitting the market? Is it just a lab demo?
Not at all. This is happening now. The technology is already being commercialized in MSI's new 27.1 QPX 32 monitor, and Samsung's own Odyssey OLED G8 gaming monitors, announced on May 19th, are using the same tech to deliver 4K resolution at 240 Hz. It's an immediate competitive escalation in the high-end gaming and professional display markets.
So how does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers who make monitors, laptops, or even specialized industrial displays?
For them, the performance benchmark has just been reset. Any product targeting the premium market using older OLED or even high-end LCD technology will now appear dated. European brands known for high-fidelity professional monitors, for example, are now under direct pressure to integrate these new panels or risk losing their performance edge. This creates an opportunity for those who can redesign their products quickly, but a significant threat for those with longer development cycles.
And for the trading companies and distributors who move these components and finished goods?
They need to act fast. These new panels from Samsung Display will be in high demand and short supply initially. Securing an allocation is paramount. They should also anticipate that products featuring Penta Tandem QOLED will command a premium. It's a chance to improve margins, but only if they can get the product. Market timing is critical. They should be in talks with MSI, Samsung, and other OEMs now.
While Samsung pushes performance, we also saw a report from China Jizhong University about lead-free quantum dots. How does that fit in?
It's the other side of the coin, sustainability and regulation. Many current high-performance quantum dots contain lead or cadmium, which face increasing restrictions, especially under EU regulations like ROTS. The Chinese researchers have developed a highly stable red emitter using lead-free cesium manganese bromide quantum dots embedded in glass.
So they're solving the toxicity problem. What should Western executives be doing in response to these display developments?
The actionable insight is twofold. First, product executives must immediately benchmark their display roadmaps against these new QD OLED specs. Can you compete on brightness, refresh rate, and longevity? If not, you need a plan. Second, supply chain and compliance officers need to accelerate their transition strategy to lead-free quantum dots. The Chinese development is a clear signal that viable, eco-friendly alternatives are maturing, and they could become a new crucial sourcing channel.
Okay, let's move to our next story, which feels like a David and Goliath battle in the semiconductor world. Canon is investing 50 billion yen, or about $320 million, in a new factory in Japan for something called nano imprint lithography. Troy, what is this, and why are they betting so big on it now?
Nano imprint lithography, or NIL, is a fundamentally different way to pattern computer chips. Instead of using extremely complex and expensive light-based systems like EUV, which is dominated by the European firm ASML, NIL works more like a high-tech stamp. It physically presses a master mold onto a wafer to create the circuit patterns.
A stamp for making 2-nanometer chips? That sounds too simple.
The concept is simple, but the execution is incredibly complex. Canon's version is called Jet and Flash Imprint Lithography, or JFIL. Because it's not limited by the wavelength of light, it can theoretically create features smaller than EUV. Canon claims it can achieve 2-nanometer nodes with significantly lower costs and up to 90% less energy than an EUV system. This new plant in Utsunomiya, starting operations in September 2025, is designed to triple their production capacity.
I have to challenge that, Troy. An article from Bits and Chips last year argued that NIL is unlikely to challenge EUV for leading-edge chips anytime soon. It cited major hurdles with mask durability and managing defects. Has anything changed?
That's the critical question. The skepticism has been valid. Defectivity and mold lifespan are NIL's historic weaknesses. However, Canon's roadmap, detailed by PatSnap, shows consistent breakthroughs in overlay accuracy and defect reduction. Their first commercial shipment was in October 2024. This massive new factory investment is the strongest signal yet that Canon believes it has solved enough of these problems to begin scaling up for high-volume manufacturing.
So, what does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers, especially those in the chip ecosystem? Is this a threat to ASML's dominance?
For leading-edge logic, the most advanced CPUs and GPUs, EUV is safe for now. The immediate impact is elsewhere. As Compound Semiconductor News points out, NIL's real power is its versatility beyond silicon. It's ideal for manufacturing components for augmented reality, 3D sensing, and biotech devices. European companies specializing in photonics, high-bandwidth datacom components, and medical sensors could see NIL as a breakthrough enabling technology, allowing them to produce complex nanostructures at a fraction of the cost.
What about trading companies that distribute manufacturing equipment or components?
They should be looking at the emerging ecosystem around NIL. This isn't just about the lithography tool itself. It's about the materials, the molds, the metrology equipment. There are opportunities to partner with firms developing NIL-enabled devices in these new growth markets, like AR glasses or advanced optical sensors. It's a chance to get in on the ground floor of a technology that could dominate these specific high-value sectors.
So, what's the actionable takeaway for our listeners?
Executives at semiconductor and specialty device companies should treat NIL as a commercially viable option, not a research project. Initiate pilot programs to evaluate NIL for non-EUV applications, where cost and unique structural capabilities are key. For firms reliant on the EUV ecosystem, it's time to actively monitor Canon's progress. NIL is becoming a credible long-term alternative that could dramatically reshape the cost structure of chip manufacturing.
Finally, Troy, let's zoom in on the materials that enable these technologies. We saw multiple reports on nanomaterials, particularly from a Luxembourg-based company, OCSIL. What are they doing with carbon nanotubes?
OCSIL is a world leader in single-walled carbon nanotubes, or SWCNTs. These are microscopic cylinders of carbon atoms with incredible properties. They've just launched new products aimed at two key areas, high-performance battery electrodes and printed electronics.
Let's break that down. How do they improve batteries for, say, an electric vehicle?
In a battery electrode, SWCNTs create a highly efficient conductive network. According to research from Politecnico di Torino, this reduces internal resistance and improves stability. For a U.S. or European EV manufacturer, this translates directly to faster charging capabilities and better power delivery for acceleration. The key is that you need very little, as low as 0.1 to 0.5% by weight, to achieve superior performance compared to traditional carbon black additives.
And the second area, printed electronics. OCSIL showed a demo of printing a circuit on paper.
Exactly. Their two-ball graphene nanotube inks are conductive, flexible, and compatible with standard printing methods. This is a massive opportunity for European manufacturers in smart packaging, flexible sensors, or wearable devices. It allows for the low-cost, high-volume production of electronic functions on non-traditional surfaces.
This all sounds very promising, but when we talk about nanomaterials, red flags around safety and regulation always come up.
And they should. A recent review highlighted that inhalation is the primary route for occupational exposure to engineered nanomaterials. This isn't just a hypothetical risk, it's a real-world operational challenge for any manufacturer looking to adopt these materials. The need for clear, global standards is paramount.
So, how should a company manage this?
This is where the work of organizations like the American National Standards Institute and ISO Technical Committee 229 becomes critical. They are developing the foundational standards for terminology, measurement, and safety.
For trading companies, ensuring their suppliers comply with these emerging ISO standards is non-negotiable for supply chain integrity. It's not just about quality, but about safety and regulatory acceptance in Western markets.
So, what is the clear action item for an executive hearing this?
It's a dual-track approach. Your R&D team should be actively testing SWCNTs from suppliers like OCACL to unlock performance gains in your next-generation batteries and electronics. In parallel, your operations and EHS teams must be upgrading your material handling and risk assessment protocols. Use frameworks like control banding, which are specifically designed for nanomaterials, to ensure you are adopting this technology both effectively and safely.
That's a lot to digest. Troy, let's boil it down. What are the three strategic takeaways for our listeners this week?
First, the performance war in high-end displays is accelerating. Samsung's QD OLED technology has raised the bar for premium devices. Simultaneously, the development of lead-free quantum dots in China signals a major shift towards regulatory compliance. Western companies must innovate their product roadmaps and de-risk their supply chains accordingly.
Second,
a credible challenger to EUV's dominance in chipmaking is finally scaling up. Canon's massive investment in nano-imprint lithography makes it a serious commercial contender. Not for all chips, but for a growing and vital segment including optics, sensors, and AR/VR components. It's time to start planning for a future where lithography isn't a one-company monopoly.
And the final takeaway?
Third, advanced nanomaterials are no longer a lab experiment. They are a strategic industrial asset. The performance gains from carbon nanotubes in batteries and electronics are proven. The key to unlocking this value is to simultaneously master the associated safety and standardization challenges. Proactive engagement with both R&D and EHS is the only way to build a sustainable competitive advantage.
A new technology landscape is taking shape, from the screens we look at to the chips that power them, all built on materials we can't even see. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing.
Thank you for joining us.
We'll be back next week with more Troy Technical Intelligence. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update.